Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
and the person who wins the bronze trophy will be awarded
a month of silver membership at All Poetry. And again, all of the extra prizes are from our sponsor, the A.P. Taylor Foundation, Poetry Foundation. And on that note, I have to say that we had a meeting about the contest, and my big brother said, do you see anything popping up that we're not expecting when we were trying to come up with the rules and stuff? And I must tell my big brother that, yes, today I was hit with stuff that I was not expecting at all. Actually had me in tears because it seems that many people thought that there was an A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation because A.P. had passed away. So, as I told them, and I've added a disclaimer to the contest, A.P. Taylor is not gone. He is here. You might note that he is one of the judges for the contest, which is being judged by the four board members of a team of voices, myself, my big brother Hatter, Sweet Pea, and our sponsor, A.P. Taylor. So I'm happy to say he is here. His foundation is something that he's always planned to do, to give back to poetry, and he plans on doing it after he passed. But I said to him, well, I don't see why you should wait. I think that you should be involved and get to see what your contribution does for all your peers. So he decided that that would be a great idea and ran with it. And again, he ran with it because he is here on Earth, down in Oz, and we all thank him for sponsoring the radio shows and for this contest and all the future contests. So that's the excellent news. And I also wanted to shout out to Kay, who isn't feeling well. I hope she feels better quickly. And then some very sad news. For those who don't know, we lost one of our peers. He's been heard on the radio on multiple radio groups, one of which is ours. Him and Hatter used to talk about music together, and he has passed away. And we wish peace and our respects to his lovely wife. We're very sorry to hear of the loss. And there is also a contest going for World Spirit. So those both can be found at the contest tab at allpoetry.com. If you're a member, you can find the contest there. And if you hit the group tabs, you can click on us, a team of voices, and I'll meet you at the door. And if you're not, it's free to join. And it's a great place to write. You might want to check it out. And on that note, we will get tonight's show on the road, which is I put up a bunch of prompts, half of them nice traditional Christmas art, the other half, I guess you could call that traditional as well, but it's the naughty stuff, the raging gingerbread man and the naughty elf on the shelf that chops off Santa's head and everything in between. So I'm looking forward to see what everybody brings. And I am going to say hello to my big brother, Hatter, the writer of the lyrics to that amazing song you just heard. Hey, Hatter. Glad you're here.
Hey. We had to talk A.P. Taylor into being a part of the foundation while he's still around with that. He's still uncomfortable with it, but he'll get used to it. But we have to talk enjoy it, yeah.
That's what I keep telling him. We will get him used to it. Because, like, I know that he's done a lot of things for a lot of different causes and circumstances where he's done it in the background without anybody knowing the marvelous things he's done for them. And we thought that it would be awesome for him to get to participate and see the effect that it makes. And I, for one, Hatter for two, and then a whole bunch of others are very, very glad that he is here to do that with us. And one last time, just for anybody who just tuned in, he has not passed away. He is live and kicking. So check out the contest, and you might be the winner of the $100 prize. And there will be a $100 prize every month. And each poet is eligible to win it up to two times a year. So bring on those rights.
That's the grand prize, right?
Yes.
The gold?
The grit.
Yeah.
Like they can enter and of course, win memberships or trophies or points and everything, but the $100 prize, we put a cap of two times a year just in case. So
yeah.
Check out the contest, everyone. And in the meantime, Hatter, let's say hey to Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome
to
Wayne. The show.
Hey, Wayne. How you going, guys?
All right, how you doing?
I want $100. You want me $100?
You want $100?
I do win one. I want $100 bill from AP, so I'm gonna try to give me one. We'll see.
Well, you got to enter the contest for a shot at that.
I'll do it. I can do that. I've done that before.
Awesome.
Wait, Jeff, fun in football, the fantasy football?
Oh, I got beat. I'm out of it. You know, I got beat. You won, didn't you?
Me too, Wayne.
Yeah,
me
I was great. I had a good time. I had a blast. I had the best year I ever had in football, just about keeping up with it. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah.
I'm glad
cool.
You had a good time. I'm actually looking forward to next year, too. But for the moment, I am looking forward to watching the Battle of the Roommates because it would seem that my big brother Hatter and his lovely roommate are going to go head-to-head next week. So we shall see who has a year's worth of bragging rights.
Congratulations, Hatter.
Yeah, you know, Joy and I were projected 8th and 9th at the draft.
Yeah, it was a hell of a year. I started out 1-3 and ended up with 1-8 in a row, so I had a good year, too. I enjoyed it.
You came on strong, man. Yeah.
Yes, I phased in there. But it was fun. I came with it. This first time I ever played it. I loved it.
It was the first time? Oh, that's cool. I knew there were a couple of first-timers, but I didn't realize that you were one of them. The people who played this year have first dibs on slots next year, and everybody who is playing for the first time got their feet wet, and I expect you to come out kicking butt next year. And wait a second, let's say hello to Sweet Pea, my sweet.
Sweet.
Welcome to the
hey,
show.
Sweet.
Hey, darling.
How you doing, hon?
Uh-huh. I'm doing good. I just sent you a message, which is very odd for me, but I did. How is everyone?
Hey, Tommy Rowe.
Good. That's Tommy Rowe, 1966, January 9th, 1966, the day I was born, that song came out, which I find very, very weird. Very weird.
I have that stuck in my head every time you come on the show.
Aww.
And occasionally he breaks out in the song.
Yay. Sing for me. Sing for me. Awesome.
I sing it for you?
Sing, Hatter.
You do sing it for me every once in a while.
Oh, wasn't hello, sweetie, won't you be my girl? Won't you be my girl? Turn over and I ask it to dance. Something about taking a chance, oh, sweetie, won't you dance with me? Okay.
How are you? Thank you.
Great job.
That's perfect. How are you feeling, Mr. Hatter?
Oh man, I'll be my Ironman competition in February.
Yeah.
I'm walking. I'm walking without a cane. No walker, no cane.
Good.
I'm getting around good. Up and down, out of chairs, no problem. Trying to not go too fast.
That's awesome.
Fast. Yeah, the home physical therapist couldn't believe how fast I was coming along. I go, I have a mission.
That's crazy. Well, And once you're on a mission, no one stops to have her on a mission.
Hey, Australia bound.
Yes.
So, I sent you a message back.
Good.
Seems okay to me.
Okay, cool.
And as I mentioned at the open of the show, our sponsor is very much alive and on the line. Hello, AP.
Yay!
The reports of my demise are exaggerated, Deb. I'm still here.
Yeah.
I was so unsure of it when he asked the question what might be foreseeable that we didn't think of. Who knew that would be what it was? You know?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's a good question, and I actually didn't think of that. But anyway, there you go. It's always things you never think about, Deb. They're the ones that jump on you.
Always happens.
This is true. And I forgot to shout out one last thing at the beginning of the show when I did the intro, and that is a big thank you to Stargazer 777, because she sent us a 5,000-point contribution to the contest series by the A.T. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we thank her for that very much.
We
remember very much. 77.
There you go.
That's crazy.
Very impressive. Oh, it's great.
Yes, it was awesome of her. I appreciate it very much. And okay, now I have it under good authority that two of my board members are in a wee bit of a hurry. So I'm gonna. Where is sweet? Yeah, here we go. I have. I'm going to put that on the board. And then we'll do sweets and APs, and then I will play the recording that here for Kay and Stephen, because as I said, she's not feeling well, so Stephen recorded both poems for us. So,
okay.
Sweet, take us away.
Yes. Yes. And I love this picture so much. And this is Krumpus Rudolph ate your Christmas bitch.
Excuse me, what I knew.
Two small hands entwined tight, wishing for a silent night. No humming sounds of spying drones, no burst of bombs to light their home. No screams in the wind as men die alone. Whispering dreams of rag dolls and candy cakes, giggling about school days before armies and military tanks. Tummies rumble for bread and meat, but the hot broth is a treat. Little girls fear for Krumpus' sneer as nothing good has come this year, crying down the hall, Daddy was shot, forever gone, and Santa wouldn't dare cross the borders of the Northern Star. The Sandman sweeps into the night, as sleigh bells ring across the sky. Santa places a blanket of red to warm the bodies of two blonde heads. He left a goat, baskets of bread, two rag dolls, and a loving note. The world is watching. Feel as all hold your hands. Love is grand. We know we will not forget the crimes against your land. As Santa wrote, Krumpus jumped him from behind, and bam, two little girls were now wide awake for their eyes as reindeer fur was ravished in Krumpus' claws, blood and flesh against the walls as Santa slept across the bed. And what should appear but a red shiny nose with a back? Hey, Krumpus, pick on me, you hairy beast. I ain't your bitch. I'm hungry for a monster feast. And with a whack and a hack, there was Christmas meat. And as Santa pulled out of sight, Rudolph called out, anyone else thinks they're a badass? End poem.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why she is affectionately referred to as the Queen of Darkness. My, oh, my. I love the title. I have to say, when I read it, it made me laugh. Rudolph ate your Christmas bitch. Okay. That is a very different tale than I remember involving Rudolph, I just must say. I don't even know where to start except, where's that? Whispering dreams of rag dolls and candy cakes, giggling about school days before armies and military tanks, tummies rumble for bread and meat, but the hot broth is a treat. And where is that part about Santa on that bed? Two little girls were now wide awake. Chaos flashed before their eyes as reindeer fur was ravaged in Krampus claws, blood and flesh against the walls. As Santa slept across the bed, and I mean, talk about the visuals there. You got chunks slipping down the walls. Hey, Krampus, pick on me, you hairy beast. I ain't your bitch. I'm like, oh, boy. And as Santa pulled out of sight, Rudolph called out, anyone else think they're a badass? I was, sweet, you brought the naughty side with attitude, imagery, and I must say that you, my dear, are definitely a badass. Share.
Thank you.
Let me give you some comments. Hunter, what do you think of that? Are you scared?
The only thing was with Rudolph. Let's see. Where's Rudolph speaks? Hey, oh yeah. Hey, Krampus, pick on me, you hairy beast. Should have been Donner. Donner or dances. Hey, little Christmas bat. Whack, whack.
Oh, grown up. He's taking the steroids. Can you look at him?
He dropped it.
Oh, cool. On steroids.
You're working out.
Imagine what would happen if she asked you to sing for her, Hatter, and you didn't do it.
Oh, I know better.
Right? Wayne, what did you think?
Oh, no, not again. Can you hear me? Oh, no.
I can hear you.
Okay. So I can't find my screen again. Okay, I said, Rudolph the badass reindeer had a very hard bat. Rudolph, with your bat so hard, won't you stand guard? I'm trying to make a song out of it. But it's a great point. He's a badass.
Thank you.
Good job.
And
thank
you. You're welcome. Some comment. And Mr. A.P. Taylor, what you think?
The title got me right from the start. I'm new. I'm just looking for where the title came in. So I was just like, bring it on. You know, the picture and the title is just cool. You know, it's great. It winds its way there, and then it delivers in spades or bats in the final stanza. It's really cool.
Thank you.
So from
the
picture, Santa didn't make it.
Santa made it. He's full of sleigh.
Krampus pretty much took him apart.
No. He just knocked him out.
No. Yeah, that's it. He's okay at it.
Okay.
Somebody's going to be
right. He's okay. Good. As soon as Krampus dumped him, the reindeers came in. Some of the reindeer didn't make it out, but, you know, Santa came out. Okay.
Sweet, if you've got a minute to hang on while I read, you don't have to comment, but it'd be nice just to hear the last bit of this.
Oh, I'm here. I'm here for you, AP, always.
Okay. Righto. You ready for me to go, Deb?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is Six White Boomers. It goes a little bit like this. They were dressed in thermals, Santa and the Reindeer's Nine. So far north it's frozen eternal, a dash of strides they decline. So while the comets lay low and Cupid retired for the night, keeping warm with a ho-ho-ho, the prancers escaped these bite. Avoiding the Blixen and Dunder, these dancers gave out presents, while Rupert assured no blunder that his useful front lights meant. Then arrived over Oz, gifts fixin', they began to greatly perspire. started to slow, especially Vixen, and soon their situation was dire. Before you knew it, into the desert, with a thump and a tumble did go. Across the world was felt the hurt and the distinct absence of a home. Look up is a replacement flight. Big white boomers left abound. Not the first time an Australian way to shepherd. 'Twas lost, now found. End poem.
Oh.
I love it when Hank can take that laugh, sweet. We can hear you all the way from Colorado.
I'm sorry.
No, it's a good thing. But, like, they arrived over Oz. Gifts to fix, and they began to greatly perspire, started to slow, especially when Vixen and soon their situation was dire. Before you knew it, into the desert with a thump and a tumble did go. Across the world was felt the hurt and the distant absence of a hoe. But back at the beginning there, they were dressed in thermal, Santa, and reindeer's nines. Far, far north, it's frozen eternal, and Dasher's stride don't decline. I thought that the rhyme was really cool. Where's that? Before you knew it, into the desert, I did read that one. Where does I look? I lost the part that. So I don't know. It's way cool. The images. If you look at that picture with the dried out skeletal remains of Santa and the sleigh, and that poor Rudolph he's lost so much weight, his pants are falling off. I thought that it was cool, and I could tell that you had a really fun time with it. And I had said to AP that I wasn't sure which one he wrote to, because there is a picture where they mount Rudolph on the wall, so it could have went with that. But now that I'm looking at this one again, it's too perfect. It's like detail for detail, image for image. These poor naughty wights on the dark side of Christmas are one hell of a way to start off the show. Like, what else can I say but wow, Oz gifts fixing. And you know, with the orange dirt, and say the name of that rock formation, because I never can. Looks like it's
the
background there.
Yes, yeah, I thought it looked a bit like that, or a little bit like Colorado, actually, with Death Valley, I thought, when I looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like
I guess because of the oranges and the tones and stuff, it just feels like my, oh my. And how to beware the spots with all dark orange clay and a rock formation in the background, because, like, the skeletal remains there. Just saying.
Yeah.
What do you think of the darkness in humor form from Mr. A.P. Taylor?
Me? Hatter?
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Well, what made me giggle the most is because you're like, the stanzas across the world felt the hurt in the distinct absence of a hoe. Well, of course we did, because you said Cupid retired for the night, keeping warm with the ho-ho-hos. Cupid has all the hoes. I was laughing. Sorry. That just made me giggle. Well, Cupid's keeping them all warm. But
beautiful double man.
This is me. Just totally double entendre there for me, but that was hilarious. this is just great. I like six white bloomers left abound, not the first time in Australia way. Two shepherds was lost, now found. I thought you did great. This is just funny from start to finish. God, it does get hot there, I guess. Dire situation there, no water, all heat from the coldest. Like, I'm freezing. It's freaking gonna be like 13 degrees here today. It's gonna get colder through the night, so it's just cold as hell here. So yeah, but this made me giggle all the way through. But yeah, that one line, well, yeah, of course there's no hoes in Oz, because they're all hanging out with Cupid. So, yeah, it is a great poem. It's a big giggler for me.
Awesome comment. And Mr. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, it was a zen moment on my end because I giggled at the exact same moment, but I didn't make a sound, but I heard you. And I go, what was that? I mean, yeah, I love the pictures. That's global warming. Hey, global warming, wrong turn.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go.
And that line, and the distant absence of a hoe. Maybe a distant absence of three hoes. That's pretty funny.
Thank you very much.
That's great.
I managed to sort of slip that in, yeah.
Way, way cool. And Wayne had to go plug his phone in because
yes.
The battery died. So he is not here. And I was just joking in my comment to you as to whether or not you thought you might sit down and sketch this one, sir. So I shall wait and see.
Well, we'll see. I do have to disappear, but I was going to leave you with a little chorus before I left, Deb, because there is an Australian Christmas song on this, would you believe? And the chorus.
Get out of town. Okay.
The chorus goes like this. Six white boomers, snow white boomers, racing Santa Claus through the blazing sun. Six white boomers, snow white boomers, on his Australian run. True song.
Oh,
reminds
God.
Me of,
kill me.
Reminds
and
me
that's
of
a
that,
Christmas song.
That's a real Christmas
reminds
song.
Me
real
of, it reminds me of a song. I like to go swimming with four-legged women and swim between their knees. Swim between their knees.
Oh, no.
There goes PG-13 out the window. Anyway, that's cool. I managed to get through there, but you've
right.
gone straight through the flat.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, that was very fun, and I know you have to go, and I'm going to have to push her show, and she's going to have to go. So, love and respect. Glad you're
Thank
still
you.
With us, despite the rumors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And we'll talk soon.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, yeah. Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
Thanks, AP.
Don't forget to write for tomorrow night, AP. Check the board.
No. I'm wait, I'll be there a good half an hour before the show. Don't worry, it'll be fine.
All right, good.
Love and respect. And on that note, my sweet, why don't you push your show before you go?
Okay, so last week was the Poetry White Elephant. We had a lot of problems with everybody picking the right who they wanted to pick. So I kind of threw away the rules, and this is what's going on. You go in, all my poets from last week go in. There are a bunch of lines. You get to pick whatever poet you want and write to those lines. So everybody's up there, their lines are up there, and you can pick the poet you want and write to the lines. So feel free to pick whatever poet you want. So there you go.
What kind of poets? What kind of choices?
You have Ella Wheeler Wilcox, Dr. Seuss, Banjo Patterson, Poe,
I thought I had. Are you assigned one, or you just pick one? You can get.
You're assigned Dr. Seuss, but
right,
if you
right,
hate Dr. Seuss, you can pick someone else.
I'll try Dr. Seuss. It's not easy.
But if you hate him, I'm telling you, if you hate him, you can pick someone.
Oh, no.
Because
no. I'd like to know if I can get
away with it. Tom Petty's also up there.
Tom Petty's on there.
Yes. Tom Petty's lines, stand in the moonlight, stand under heaven, wait for an answer, hold out forever, but don't be afraid anymore. It's only a broken heart. So Tom Petty's lines are up there too.
Oh.
I knew that was coming. But I see them on your topic board now, so I will grab mine from there after the show. But in case I forgot to say so last week, you made some really great choices for these. And the poems last week were amazing, so I'm really excited find out. Yeah, so I'm excited about the ones this week. And did we keep our lucky number from last week? Is that how?
No. This week you need to IM me for your new lucky number, and that's in the rules. So IM me for your new lucky number, and I will be giving out new lucky numbers this week.
Cool. Okay. I will do that.
Okay.
And you take care, and I appreciate you calling very much. Love and respect.
Yeah, and I can hang out with you in Hatter for a little bit longer. I'm waiting on a phone call, so until that happens, I'm yours. Okay.
Oh, can I read mine? It's sweet days. Can I read mine?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's my mom's birthday, so I'm waiting for my brothers to call me, so.
Oh, you got to go? Okay.
No, I'm here until my brothers call me. It's just one of those things. It happens to be my mom's birthday, and we usually all get together and have a phone call on her birthday. So I'm waiting for that call. So if I leave abruptly, I apologize.
I think it's awesome that you guys do that. I think maybe, I was going to say, I think it would be an awesome tradition, except that my mom's birthday is New Year's Eve, and sometimes they're not always there. But that's a great thing that you guys all call each other on her birthday, since you don't get to hang with her until you join that party in the sky. But all right, in case that call comes in, Hatter, why don't you go ahead and read so this week gets to hear you.
Okay, I don't remember which one.
It's on the chat wall.
Oh, okay. That's the one I posted. Okay, because there's two identical. Not identical, but... there it is. Okay. Somewhere they don't know me. Okay. It goes like this. I'm sorry about your tragic thing, but may I have a word with you? I'm tired of the frozen nights and the long rides home. You'd think you'd get a clue or two and leave me alone. All the world is bitching because I'm late some of the time. How about I pass you by, making up for lost time? I'm tired of the list I get from all those bratty kids, and I wasn't running late. I'd tell you what they did. Mrs. Claus left me sometime in the summer. She took off with a union dude. They said he was a plumber. What I'd like is to spend my days sitting on a beach somewhere they don't know me, somewhere out of reach. I think this will be the last time I try to fly at night. It's hard to breathe. Can't you see the suit is way too tight? So if you wish to help me, take these bags of toys, find the little snotty bats, and spread a little joy.
This is great. Now Santa doesn't need therapy.
Because I picked a dark Santa picture for Stephen and Kay's that they postponed, which would have been earlier tonight. So I almost was going to just not write another one and use the two, but I figured I'd get caught.
God, that's great.
And it would have been just fine, Hatter. Why don't you comment first, just in case the call comes in, and then I'll comment.
Oh, I'm serious. Santa doesn't need therapy. Let it all out. Hatter was his voice. And why he's tired. He's always late because somebody, it's never good enough for, this instant gratification, little bratty world that we're running in. You're going to get me this. I want this. That's not good enough. I want the best of everything. You better get it to me. I'm sorry. You're not my Santa. I want the Gucci Santa. I'm sorry, is that fox fur? No, I don't think so. Where's your Versace? Are you not in Versace this year? I'm sorry, I see this, like you're making Santa evil. Where is that kind-hearted man that you know, it's better to give than receive, that he's supposed to be about. And I think that we've made Santa evil, and I think Hatter just brought that out so perfectly, and find the little snotty brats and spread a little joy, because these little brats aren't. So I think it's better that maybe we should reverse it and give them all the toys and tell them, you go find out and spread that joy and learn what's about to give. I think that maybe then we can make Santa joyful again. I love the whole twisted meaning of this. I love it.
You know, I heard a thought or a phrase or a sentence, and it goes like this. It makes a lot of sense. Your grandfather worked hard his whole life so your dad would have a better life, and he did. Your dad worked hard so you would have a better life, and you did. Now your life is so easy, you complain about not having things. So now it goes in cycles. They say every third generation is liable to go through that. I found that interesting. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, what's really funny is I see that in my son taking care of his children, because he talks about how him and his wife, because his kids are obviously, you know, his stepchildren, and they are like, they work too hard for what, getting nothing. Like they work for all these non-things. Like he watches his kids buy things that aren't real. Like they buy tennis shoes for a character in a video game, but they spend real money doing it. And right. It drives him insane because they're getting nothing. And he's like, they're spending money on nothing to get a pair of tennis shoes for a character in a video game.
Yeah.
And his wife and him are working very hard to get mortgages and food, and the cost of food is so high. He says it's crazy. So they want to, like, work less so they can spend more time with their children, not to give them more things, but to be there more, to, you know, to teach them more values, more things of what this means, what it means to go out and work for a gallon of milk or bread. And I think that would be like that third generation you're talking about. Like, you need to put your hands in the dirt, and you need to work to get your food in your body or get your shelter, not to go buy a pair of tennis shoes for a fake character in a video game. And that's interesting that you say that, because I see that, like, in the process right now.
Yeah, I can't remember where I heard that, but it's so evident that there's a lot of truth to it. I don't know the answer to that, because it's just a natural thing that happens. You can only, your father and your grandfather could only make it better so much from what they are able to use through their life to make your life better. That it's got to hit the wall some generation, and I think we're pretty close.
I think my kid's generation was that. I think that's as high as we could have gotten. I think, you know, my son's generation, my son's kid's generation is, they got to get back to work. We don't have welders. We don't have electricians. We don't have, you know, people that know how to fix anything. And it's time we started rebuilding that.
It won't all be all keyboards and programs and software.
Right.
I mean, there'll be a lot of that, I'm sure, but the trades. I was an electrician for 15 years. Good hard work. I mean, and I understand that worrying about my kids. That's how I got with the fire department. I needed benefits, so I hounded the fire department for a year. They hired me just to get rid of me. Quick, I'm going to end. Nope, not till you hire me. They did.
Yeah. My eldest son is a welder.
No, go ahead, Sri.
I should say my youngest son is a welder. So it's just interesting that you said that, because I can see that in a lot of the whole generation of the kids that I, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure that these generations that, I don't know if it's X, Y, or Z, or whatever their generation it is that they're calling themselves, but they could look back and probably say the same thing. Your grandfather worked hard for his father, and father did the same, and now you got it so easy, you don't know how to, you don't know how to do it. Glad I'm not that generation.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that about the generation X and Y and whatnot, because my daughter said to me, did you notice that they changed the generation names? And I'm like, what do you mean? She said, well, Grandma and Papa used to be the baby boomers. Now they're calling you that. And she said, I was Generation X. How did I get to be, I forget what she said it was, but they obviously have done a time machine shift and swapped the names out, which is like, you.
Well, that's a nice try.
And then,
No.
Right? And on your poem, Hatter, I thought some of them were, like, I'm laughing, but then the reality of some of the parts kick in. Like, you were saying the grandfather worked hard for dad, and then dad worked hard for you. And by the time it trickles down to you, each generation's trying to make their children have more and better than they had, to the point where, as you said so eloquently, turn them into snotty brats. And it's because, like Sweet said, rather than go out and do whatever, they're sitting there buying fake shoes for characters on a game with real money, you know? So, yeah, it's a little mixed up.
Yeah, they can't do it with cash and presents. They can't give what the better life my grandfather, my father, and my father gave me that wasn't material at all. I think they got it wrong.
And you know, when you are one of those bratty kids, like I can remember times, and I've called myself an ungrateful little spoiled brat, you know, what a bitch, getting mad because you didn't get this or stomp it off because you didn't get that. And then you think about the fact that, like, my grandfather couldn't read or spell, but he went up and worked at the Philadelphia Navy Yard every day and took care of a family. And how? I mean, imagine trying to function in a world where you can't read and write, but he did.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and then my parents, my dad got a job when he was too young to work by faking his birth date, which of course you couldn't get away with nowadays. But my dad worked at the same job his entire life, and he, you know, climbed up from starter to the boss platforms and stuff like that. And it was like to take us on a family trip every year, whether it be down the shore for a week or to Walt Disney World or south of the border to buy Mexican jumping beans. And we had this fairy tale
life. South of the border. Oh, my God. I haven't heard that in so long. The big hat, the sombreros, south of the border.
Yeah.
We'd walk through all those little things. Oh, my God, I love south of the border. Oh,
yeah.
God, I miss that.
And we all got the little plastic. No, it's okay. And we all got the plastic square with the jumping beans in them. And, I mean, you know, and it was more, give me more. And it wasn't until you grow up and become an adult and try to figure out how the hell your parents were able to give you so much and have to struggle to do it yourself. And, you know, if you had a room full, I mean, it took us hours to open our Christmas presents in the morning. And then you try to do the same thing for your kids, but you forget some of the things that you have to do as well, like, you know, assign chores or this or that to make it an even keel. And sometimes it gets out of hand. So it's strange. And I like how you had us giggling, but look at the profound conversation it caused, Hatter.
You know, I got to give a shout out to my mom and dad, who's no longer with us. I always wondered how they did it. My dad was a cop, my mom didn't work. She did taxes for a company in the spring now and then, and she worked at the fair during the summer to the entry department, which is a long summer job. But other than that, I didn't know how the hell, like you said, with six kids, the front room was packed with presents. I don't know how they did it. And then it dawned on me, they did it by going without. They didn't do anything for themselves. They did it all for us, the kids.
Sacrifice. That's a good point. I think that's what's missing in a lot of circumstances, whether it be parent to child, even in a relationship, husband to wife or friend to friend. Sometimes a sacrifice needs to be made, and if nobody's willing to be the one that makes it, it's like, you know. But
the joy of giving something.
Right. Well, my mom didn't work either. Well, she did off and on, but for the most part, she was home with us until we were, you know, higher up in school. And then we had the nerve, like when we get home from school, there'd be a note on the table, you know, whose turn it was to fold the towels or whose turn it was to start dinner, which usually that was mine. And I would grumble, but now I'm grateful for all the things that I know how to cook because my mom left me a note on the counter. And then, you know, it's just sometimes I'm embarrassed at what a spoiled brat I was, to be honest. But I kind of
we grew up in the decades of the 60s and 70s. I think those two decades, if you grew up in, was an exceptional to a lot of rules. We still had hands on with the Greatest Generation. We knew what it was like before technology hit us. Just we had a TV and a radio. That was it, right?
Right.
And we've seen the advancement of technology, and the internet. But do you remember what life was before the internet? To dialing the phone to call somebody. Before microwave. So I think we were the last generation to basically understand what our grandparents, who was the Greatest Generation, what they went through and what they sacrificed. When they went to war, the country went to war, was threatened. There was no doubt these kids left their farms and after 9/11, the same. There's a lot of high school kids that graduated and went into the service, and God bless them for that. I don't think, other than that one group, they understand what sacrifice is. My God, if we were to go on coupons for food, you know how the rationing, sugar,
right,
and gas. I don't think you know, turn off the internet, you're going to have freaking groups in the fetal position in the Starbucks not knowing what to do with their life.
Yeah.
Suicides at Starbucks.
Overpriced coffee and addiction to electronics. Yeah, because I noticed, like, if there's a storm and the power goes out, we're like, okay, what do we do with ourselves? And if you have enough candles, you know, you play a board game. For those who still buy board games, which I kind of think are fun, and if nobody's around, believe it or not, I pull out my Spirograph. I love making those things. And yes, I have a Spirograph. But
you know what I found? The neighbors had a garage sale, and the older gentleman, he passed away last year. And so she's been going through sheds, pulling stuff out there, and she does me a great favor. Let me have anything I want. Basically, she gives it to me. But they had a Monopoly game, unused, in a wooden case, with a emblem placket thing on the side. What I can tell, it's like from 1973. I've never seen one of those before, so I'm trying to think of what to do with it now.
Huh. Wow.
We could play board games. on the phone, on the radio. Everybody having
maybe board games.
I could do a chess, like they do a chess with my letter, snail mail. They used to mail letters to each other and make and have moves playing guys' chess.
Well, you could take it to Oz with you, and you and AP could play, just saying.
I don't know, it was just too cool not to drive. But
right.
I think it's worth something. Oh.
All right, well, I'm definitely not going to be able to only make it for an hour, so let's see if we can get some of these poems in.
Okay.
If you guys would click on Kay's poem, I have the recording that Stephen made for her. And again, feel better, Kay. And
yeah.
Yes, please.
Rustic
all
gatherings
right.
of love. Here's our hallmark.
Here we go.
Rustic Gatherings of Love by Kay, read by Stephen 76. Pine cones wrapped in vintage lace of snow trimmings, flocked to sparkle in glittering sheen per confetti flecks of what the eye gleans. Berry twigs to ornaments, glazed in poinsettia red, as the rattan tree topper symbolizes woodland's cardinaling unity. This snowy evening silently beacons all. End poem.
Read. I love the title, Rustic Gathering of Love. Isn't that an awesome title? I like the pine cones wrapped in vintage lace of snow trimmings. I can picture them. I don't know. In school, we would dab Elmer's glue all over the pine cones and then sprinkle glitter on there and then tie a ribbon or a scrap of lace and hang them on the tree, and it would look so pretty. And for some reason, that made me think of, you know, that's what that made me think of, pine cones wrapped in vintage lace and the glazed in poinsettia red as the rattan tree topper symbolizes woodland's cardinaling. I like the nod to the cardinals with the cardinaling. It's really clever wording and the glitter she has in the second line, but I like how it's confetti flecks. So it this is short but sweet, and I really, really like the snowy evening silently beckons all. There's something about the art that she chose. It sort of seems like a beautiful, almost a snow globe, and you can see the cardinals in the tree and all the animals looking in the window, and I thought that it was a really enchanting brevity. And I appreciate her for writing it and Stephen for reading it for us and recording both the poems so that he could keep his wife warm and take care of her while she's not feeling well. So we missed you guys, but great poem. And Sweet, what do you think? Oh, that phone call must have came in. She had to go.
Okay.
How do we come okay, please?
I looked up. Cardinaling is an actual word. It is.
Yeah.
It is not to be acting like a cardinal. It is to share your videos with friends, family, and the world. Cardinaling.
Oh, wow. I thought it was a play on words. Because, I mean, I know she's a fan of cardinals. Cardinals and dragonflies and Hello Kitty. You know, you get to know your friends the more you hang out and write poetry with them. So I kind of thought it was a reference. But then for me, that makes it even cooler because it's got like that double meaning. It's a nod to those cardinals, but it's also talking about, you know,
it's got to be one of the new words they've added to the dictionary. But, cardinaling. Wow. What was I? Are you there? Still there?
I wasn't sure if you were finished comment.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go get Stephen. And again, I hope you feel better really quick, Kay. I hate that you're not feeling well. Okay, now I am putting Stephen's poem on the board, and I think that the art he chose is darling, so I can't wait to hear what he has done. And for the second time, thank you so much for the recording. Let's listen to what Stephen brought.
A Very Tigger Christmas by Stephen 76. Of aphonic meows that make no sound, hunkered neath the evergreen bough. Chicken legs snagged from the den, now rosy-cheeked under the bed. Long hair tipped with frosty snow and warming by the string light's glow. Upon Tigger talk, he'd turn his head to repeat to you the thing you said. End poem. And just to let everybody know, that's about our old cat, Tigger.
Aww.
What did he say?
If we didn't know that that's about their own cat, Tigger. A Very Tigger Christmas. That's such a cute title. And even more so now that we know that it represents their kitty. And I was just noticing there on the side that it's one of his four-line tens, which I now have one, and it took me a really long time, but he's very, very good at it. He's got like 22 of them now. But I like the meow that make no sound, hunkered neath the tree. I guess that the little mouth would open, and you would know that he was trying to make the sound. I think that's so endearing. I don't know why I was so tickled by that. No sound. Oh, hunkered neath the evergreen. And you got to wonder, did their Tigger like to sit under the tree? And you notice that there's some Christmas balls around there and that the lights are laying on the ground. And you think, I wonder if they were on the tree 5 minutes ago. And I can just picture, you know, get out and saying, Tigger, what did you do? It's just so cute. Tigger talk. I think that's cute. Frosty snow and warming by the string light's glow, upon Tigger talk, he turned his head to repeat to you the thing you said. But I'm picturing the cat like moving his mouth, but no sound coming out. And it's just like, it's adorable. And Roscoe does that. I'll say something and he'll turn around. And sometimes, he responds with a meow or whatever, but sometimes he just moves his lips, and I'm like, use your words. What are you trying to say? I mean, it's too adorable. So to think of the fact that they had one that did that as well is just too cool.
Yeah, that picture there, that looks exactly like Sugar Bridges. Exactly what she looks like.
That's a queen, too.
Yeah, queen.
And again, I think it's even more endearing by the fact that we now know that this kitty, or the story of this kitty, is part of their little family there. So that's really sweet. Now, it's just the two of us, but before I move to the next poem, what I'm going to do is I'm going to push the shows for them, and I'm going to say it with a disclaimer, because since Kay's not feeling well, of course, the times and dates are subject to change. But for the moment, the next show is The Movement of Sound at 7:30 on the 22nd. That's Thursday. And the topic is, it's almost Christmas time. It's time to celebrate being holly and jolly by remembering Christmas past. To warm our todays, bring a write inspired by your favorite Christmas song. And they're going to play some Christmas music, and they have some The Jolly Fat Man. They have Christmas All Around the World. They have the Chipmunk, I'm losing my voice, the Chipmunk song. They have All I Want for Christmas, The 12 Pains of Christmas, Last Christmas, Step Into Christmas, Wonderful Christmas, If Every Day Could Be Like Christmas, of course, Elvis. Oh, and Dino, A Marshmallow World. I wonder who they had in mind when they chose The Marshmallow World. And again, that is Thursday, at 7:30. And then the next one I see is Saturday with Sky. And she will be presenting storyboards, and it's the movie Trading Spaces with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. And she usually tells you, I'm looking, you can write about, yes, okay, you can write about the theme, the scenes, the characters, or the quotes. And she provides a link that will take you to some film quotes. Again, that is with Sky on Saturday night at 8. And then on Monday, the Mortuary of Shadows at 7:30. And it is some pretty amazing Christmas legends to choose from there. I'm still working on mine. And some of these characters I had not heard of, and they're pretty fascinating. So those are the next shows at A Poetic Slice of Life. But again, just keep an eye out on their topic boards in case the dates change. And thank you, Stephen, for making those recordings. Thank you both for writing. And one last time, Bill Better K. All right, Hatter, let me grab the next poem on the board here. As I usually do, I'm going to let Crystals wait and see if she gets the chance to call in. And the rest of these are recordings. So I am, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab the poem by Heavenly Angel, and I'm going to read that one. And where is it? Here's a team of voices. So how to click on that, and I will read Angels, and then we'll do a few of the sound clips.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. And this, wow, this is an acrostic written by Heavenly Angel. It's called The True Spirit of Christmas. And here we go. Trees adorned with tinsel and glowing lights. Honeydew, apple, amber, every shade imaginable. Eastern star illuminates evening sky. The city is reverent hush, celebrating rose sipped, gift exchanged, children off the bed. Under the covers, visions of sugar plums dance in their heads. Excitement building to see what Santa may bring. Sadly, though, the true meaning of Christmas is forgotten. Songs, psalms of the wise men, the angels, heralds are pushed aside. Indulgence in materialistic things reigns supreme. Reverence to the significance of the night is ignored. Emmanuel gifted to the earth, don't they know? The shepherds in the fields followed this. Oh, what a holy night it was. Frankincense and myrrh gifted to the baby in the manger. Carols should sing hymns. Joy should fill hearts. Holly placed upon mantles. Red and green wreaths hung upon every door. Ivory and gold candles placed upon tables. Santa himself bows to the true Prince of Christmas. Trumpets and tidings herald his arrival. Mary, so honored to have birthed a king, adorned with the blessings of heaven. Sleep in heavenly peace. Christ is born. I almost said amen. End poem.
Yeah.
I love that it brought, okay, for those who can't see, there's a picture of the manger, and baby Jesus is in the cradle, and the North Star is shining, and Santa is kneeled beside him with his hat in his hand and his head bowed. And I think that was such a gorgeous image. And she just brought it to life. And you know, sadly, it is true. Quite too much emphasis is put on those gifts under the tree and all the other parts. And it's nice to see her pointing out the fact that, you know, there's a more important underlying reason for this day, and it's a birthday, a very important one, and Christ is born. Excellent share, Angel. I appreciate that. And I see, I think I've mentioned this before, but she rarely brings a poem on Monday night that hasn't won one or more awards, and this one's got a few. So congratulations on your awards. As always, it was my honor to be your reader, and the poem is fantastic. Potter, what do you think?
Yeah, you pretty much said it all. A modern day drummer boy type thing where you don't, with the drummer boy, all he could do was, as a gift, was to play for the baby Jesus. That speaks a lot about what a gift is. It's from the heart. It's not from the pocketbook. That all makes you, you know, nothing with a price tag is going to make you happy at the end of your days. Just sooner people understand that, the better life they'll live.
Very true. It's another cliche, but you can't take it with you. Awesome work.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's mosey on over here and see what I have next. I am going to grab the link by Laughing Soul and put her poem on the board. And
24.
How do you know you see it? And I will push the recording.
I see it, Laughing Soul. Christmas in my heart.
All right, here we go.
Christmas in My Heart, a poem by Laughing Soul. Vanilla sky draped with turquoise memories gleam on my merlot-kissed lips, a lovesome winter weave on a Christmas Eve. Petunia blooms unfurl the holly of warmth and love in the little girl's heart, in a time zone far, far, while she bought a tree on a Christmas Eve. Concoction of nutmeg and sangria sips, unearth songs and laughter around the cashmere reeds on a Christmas Eve. She visits them every winter, these guests she receives on a Christmas Eve.
That track always gets you every time, doesn't it, Hatter?
I remember one year I drank too much on a Christmas Eve. I love the way she ended every one of those on a Christmas Eve. Good touch. Yeah. Do you have a real tree, Joy, Deborah?
No. To be honest,
good.
We go over my daughter's, so I didn't even put it up. I have an artificial tree, you know. Some years you put that up, and some years you go get one. But once the kids get bigger,
I'll tell you what. When you get hired by the fire department, they put you through some fire science classes, and one of them is the dangers of different times of year, and to see how fast a Christmas tree can go up in flames is frightening. I would suggest if you want the smell of Christmas, go get a bough from some pine tree and throw it behind your couch. It'll smell just like a Christmas tree through the holidays. But I wouldn't have a live, a cut real tree in my house ever again. Too much can happen.
Yeah, I have seen, like, obviously not in person, but I've seen the recordings of when the trees burst into flames. And like you said, it's just practically instant. It just rot. It's like a spark and then it's just
so
burns, and it's a shame because it's a beautiful thing, but that was part of the reason that I went with the artificial tree, because it's sort of scary when you see how fast you could lose everything because of the tree. And if you at the very least, nowadays you can just pick up a candle or a wax, the ones that just melt in warmth, and you can have the whole house smell like a Christmas tree, and not have the risk of the fire. I mean, I think everybody should get to have one if that's what their heart desires, but be careful because it really can be all gone in the blink of an eye. But yeah, we'll bring it down
price. And the price, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true. They got worse all the time.
Yeah,
and then if
you do use a real tree, prepare it. And you take caro syrup and you put it in a bucket of water and you let that tree soak for 2 days.
Well, I'm a proponent of, if you're going to get one and you're going to put out the extra expense of it, you can get them where they wrap the roots in like burlap and it's potted. And then after Christmas, you can just dig a hole and plant it in your yard, and you've given it back to the person, which I think is a really amazing thing, actually. But sometimes if it's really cold where you live, you can't even break the ground. So it is what it is. But you see how many trees are cut down, and then how many are not purchased. And it feels like such a waste. I don't know. If somebody asked me, do you think I should get one? I said, if you really want to, but try to go with the ones that are potted that you can give back. I think
they do farm them just like any other crop nowadays. Certain fields have been planted years ago to be ready this year, that kind of thing. But I would suggest forget the tradition. There's too much to lose. Get a fake tree. And because think about it, if your tree dries out too fast, let's put on lights that are 20 something years old. Let's put that short circuit on there. See what, it's such a tragedy when it happens.
And we're not trying to bum anybody out, but remember, my brother was a fireman. So he's telling you this out of love. Okay, so Phil the Poet is next. You want to click on that one and tell me when you see it?
Okay, going right down there. There we go, Phil the Poet. Go.
All right, here comes the recording.
A Very Tigger Christmas by Stephen 76.
Wrong button. So sorry. Let me push that again.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Christmas Night Adventure. At Christmas night, too excited to sleep, hiding strange giggles under the sheet, hearing the footsteps upon the stair, the smell of roasted chestnuts fills the air, a jingle of sleighs and a thud on the roof, a bitten piece of mince pie, the only proof. Clutching the pillow tight without a sound, as the jolly visitor makes another round. Was it? Says one. Of course not, it was Dad. The little girl pouts, looking at her brother, very sad. It must have been, for I heard hooves on the roof, and so did you. Don't deny it, you know it's the truth. Okay, I heard it too, but be quiet for heaven's sake, for we are supposed to be asleep, not wide awake. But I couldn't sleep because I'm so excited about Christmas, the season of goodwill towards all, as well as forgiveness. Holding hands, they both stepped into the next room and noticed that the Christmas tree began to bloom. In shades of emerald and tangerine surprise, They stood dumbfounded at the present before their eyes. They hugged each other and cried with joy when they saw the presents full of toys before rushing back to their own beds, not feeling a gentle kiss upon their heads. End poem.
You know, I really, really like the way he jumped into the childhood part of that, the excitement of waiting for Christmas morning, the listening for the jingle of the sleigh and the footsteps on the roof. And I liked, he said, wait, or was it? Says one of them, of course not. It was Dad. The little girl pouts, looking at her brother, very sad. It must have been, for I heard hooves on the roof, and so did you. Don't deny it. You know it's the truth. I really love that stanza. You get the feeling of the difference in their age where one still believes in Santa and one doesn't kind of thing. And he's like, you know it's the truth. That is so sweet. And then it's, okay, I heard it. But be quiet, for heaven's sake. I mean, it was a very endearing, tender memory from childhood, because I can remember telling my sister, shh, they're going to hear us. Close your eyes. Pretend you're sleeping. Here they come. So, like, yeah, it was just really, really sweet. And I'm going to the board to put the picture that he wrote to up there so that you can see just how spot on the right is, because it's, oops, that's the wrong one. The little brother and sister are like peeking in the doorway. There it is. I found the right one. But he turned around and he totally brought that art to life. They're right next to their bed peeking out that door. And it's so cute because, like, he's down on his knees. Maybe, I guess he thinks they can't see him as well that way, but very, very excellent piece, especially to that art. Fantastic. And thank you for the recording and for supporting the show. And love listening to you read, Phil. Potter, what do you think?
Yeah, it was definite. It sounded definite memory of a past Christmas for him, the way he wrote it. I believe it's a little memories of past Christmases for him. It's always good. It's always a Phil never lets us down. And you're right. I like the interaction between the brother sister. Yeah, Christmas morning, always special.
Yeah, very endearing piece. And I agree with you. He never lets us down. None of the poets do. We are really, really blessed to get to hang out with week after week, you know?
Oh, just watching them. Watching them through the years, getting better and better. All of them.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Now let me grab Gerald's poem, and then we will listen to him read for us. And I'm grabbing that right now. And Hatter, just yell for me when you see it, please.
Got it, Gerald Green.
Okay, here we go.
Christmas Tragedy, written and read by Gerald Green. Nobody knew how bad it could get, how tragic the party could be, when all of the town came and danced around the community Christmas tree. With candles a-glowing and weather a-snowing, warm coats and thick mittens were worn, without any thought or intention about the day that the baby was born. With new hope on display, the children did play, and carols were sung all around. Currier and Ives brightened music and lives, while voices made harmonic sound. Both peace and pure love was felt from above, bringing smiles and desires to share, until the event that none could prevent, Santa Clauses were seen everywhere. anxiety struck with both stress and distress, affecting all parents and kids. Santa surrounded and quickly confounded the village that now craved antacids. Belief in one Santa was now propaganda. The town was distraught in its grief. As trueness was shown and verity known, destroying its pagan belief. End poem.
The Christmas tragedy, I was like, uh-oh. With candles aglow and the weather a-snow and warm coats and thick mittens were worn, without any thought or intentions about this day that the baby was born. With new hope on display, the children did play and carols were snug all around. Curry in her eyes brightened music and lives while voices made harmonic sound. Belief in one Santa was now propaganda. The town was distraught in its grief as trueness was shown, the verity known, destroying its pagan belief. Wow. And, you know, it was one of those things that every parent winds up dealing with when you see multiple Santas and try to explain that, you know, in one breath, we're telling them that, you know, Santa's out there flying around the world and giving everyone their gifts. But in another breath, we're saying, oh, you know, they're Santa's helpers. And try to wrap your head around that when you're little. Is he out there by himself doing the whole world, or are there multiple Santas, and why are they everywhere? Yeah. So it can be a tragic thing to not understand why there's so many Santas. And you know, it's funny because you never know which way Gerald might go with his poems. And when I was looking at the art, I wouldn't have imagined that he would have went the route of trying to explain those multiple Santas and the anxiety that it causes and the difference it made in your belief systems. So I thought this was really, really clever and a quite original approach to that art altogether. So, like, and then, of course, you know, getting to hear him read as well, and his cadence in this one was spectacular too. I really enjoyed this one. What do you think, Adder?
Yeah, I think it speaks to the loss of innocence. That moment you described 2 years ago, I got to play Santa Claus, full garb and everything at a big party. Joy's boss had it. Was that 2 years ago I played Santa?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And this one little boy.
Wait, hi, Joy. Congratulations.
Hi, Merry Christmas.
To you, too.
Thank you.
Yes, you get a butt kick back. So, that's all right. Yeah, I was playing Santa, and all the little kids that came up, you know, doing the thing. But this one little boy, when he showed up, and he beelined it with his parents over to me, and he goes, "You're not really him." I go, "What?" He goes, "You're not really Santa." I go, "No, I'm not, but you can't tell anybody." I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm his helper. You know that, but we can't tell anybody." And he goes, oh, I didn't know that." But I didn't try to say I was. Yeah, I mean, it was like I had a little anxiety from that little kid knowing that wasn't Santa. Hey, I looked just like him. Oh, Joy.
You sure did.
But, yeah, it's a great piece by Jared.
Awesome comment. So let me see what's up here. All right, so Wayne was going to try to charge his phone. Maybe it gave him a hard time. So we have Wayne's recording, and then we have the poem that Crystal sent for us. So I'm going to read for Crystal, And then if Wayne hasn't called back, we will use his poem as the last one. So let me find the board.
Can you give me 1 minute?
Sure.
Okay. Talk amongst yourselves.
Let me talk to myself. That'll look really good. But no, I'll take that moment to remind everyone that tomorrow's the conclusion of Sweet Pea's White Elephant Christmas Party. And whomever you were assigned or chose for this week, if you click on her topic board, above the packages, she has added the lines from each of the poet or singer. And for example, I chose Maya Angelou, and I will go and grab her lines. And what hers is love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles, leaps fences, penetrates walls to arrive at its destination full of hope. And I mean, what a gorgeous, gorgeous quote. And I kind of feel bad because it has hope in it. And you guys are used to hope being for. I'll see what I can't do with it. And don't forget to message Sweet Pea, and she will give you your lucky number for the show. And she will be giving away prizes. So that's tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
And could we have Christmas Eve? Will be Hatterday Saturday with AP Taylor and you and myself. We will be playing Pavlov's Dog, Hand in Your Keys.
You
hear a bell, bark like a dog, and take the shot.
And we will be Homeward Bound on that show. That is the prompt.
And then
the annual Christmas Hatter at 11 p.m.
Deborah. Oh, Christmas
and
Deborah this year.
I'm always there at Christmas with you. Yeah. What are you talking about, dude?
Yeah.
I'm always there, man.
I happened to listen to a Christmas show two nights ago, and it was 2018. It was. Could have been further. Could have been 14.
Right.
First one.
Well,
I think it was the first one.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not sure. But another note on the site there on Friday night, it's open poetry with Liquid Damage as well.
Oh.
So, yeah. So
oh,
there's quite
on what night?
Friday night.
Isn't that man cave? Or do we have an extra? Mm. No, there'll be another Friday. Yeah, there'll be another Friday.
There's another Friday. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So
following Friday is man cave. Okay.
Yep. Absolutely. Positively. Okay. So I am grabbing. I'm going to read for Crystal, and then we're going to do Wayne's recording. That's what we have left.
Okay.
And Crystal's is on the board, so tell me when you see it.
I have it in front of me. Go for
okay.
It.
This is called Shimmering Snowman Smiles by C. Hope. I see Hope. You see her? Anyway,
see
here
Hope.
We go. Me too. And it's an award winner as well. Pastel strings of light glisten in the snow, powdered by the sticks of candied peppermint. Tope branches shake and shine in the breeze, followed by the snowballs of muddy footprints. Black top hat buried in crystal snowflakes, carried by buttoned yarn and charcoal eyes. Mistletoe kisses his orange carrot nose, glimmering from the midnight blue skies. Broken twigs raise his brown eyebrows, shivering from the cold mist of winter's beam. Kitchen mittens warm the chestnut wood covered by the blankets of butternut cream. Ivory stars blast gold trim onto the silver moon, shoveling ice mounds and frostbite aisles. Melting icicles hugged by the skinny arms of a shimmering snowman smile. End poem. Oh, I liked how she ended it with the title. But like, if you look at the art she has, it's a snowman and he's got Christmas lights and he's got this smile on his face and there's a glow about him and she pulled it to life quite beautifully through here. For some reason, I really love the mistletoe kisses and orange carrot nose glimmering from the midnight blue skies. And the other one that really stuck out was ivory stars blast gold trim onto silver moons, shoveling ice mounds on frostbite isles. Really, really awesome. And I mean, she had all the aspects. There was icicles and the crystal snowflakes. So I like that there's crystal in there. So I think that this is very, very beautiful. And Crystal, the only thing that would have made it better would have been to get to hear you read it, but it was my honor to be your reader. And I appreciate you and the poem. And Heather, what did you think?
I it's been a long time since I had this food, but I wanted this to rhyme so bad. I wanted to make it rhyme. I don't know why. I'll do an impression. Happy birthday, Frosty. each line is in this, what do they call it, the little couplets?
Couplets, yeah.
Couplets.
And what do you, I'm a little bit confused, so she's got the rhyme, peppermint, footprint, eyes, skies, beam, cream, aisles, smile.
Oh, it is. Well, you didn't read it rhyming.
I read it. I read what I saw, Hatter. I heard
it. It does. I'll smile.
I'm
it
sorry,
does. All right.
I'm sorry.
That's probably
your head.
Where I heard it. I'm sure that's where I heard it before. See, if
well,
I
I'm
didn't
sorry.
Rhyme when we started, I made it rhyme. Poof.
Yeah, all right, Frosty.
Okay. It must have been that hat.
Must have been that, yeah.
For that
somehow,
bar I
anyway.
Just took. Stay in school.
Oh, boy. You're a bugger. Okay.
Forgot it already.
Now.
Thanks, Crystal.
Let's put the poem by Wayne on the board. Let me just double-check the studio real quick. Okay. He was not able to call back. So you tell me when you see it, and I will push his recording, and we'll play the last poem.
I see it. I got it.
All right.
Right.
And here we go with a poem by Mr. Ranger.
This poem is called No Christmas, No More. I'll be damned. It's Christmas again. It is time to raise hell. I'm not sure where to begin. I could go break a bell. Go out and kill somebody's friend. Zombie Santa with evil grin. Go out and kill. Bah, humbug. Christmas has to end. I'll be damned. It's Christmas again. Must get rid of snow. It's a good message to send. My evil has to grow. I'm so pretty when I do grin. Zombie Santa starting a trend. I'm so pretty. Send old Santa back home to men. I'll be damned, it's Christmas again. I might steal me some gifts. Zombie Santa moves like the wind. The sleigh ride I win. Do all I can to cause rift. This holiday will be no gift. Do all I can. Bad Christmas has gave me a lift.
That was cool. And you know, I can't put my finger on it, but there was something about that, the music in the background. It was almost Twilight Zone-ish, huh?
Tubular Bells.
I know, but for some reason it had like a Twilight Zone kind of feel. But I think that was more into the tone in his voice and the words. I'll be damned! It's Christmas again. It's time to raise some hell, and I'm not sure where it began. I could go break a bell. Zombie Santa with evil grin. Go out and kill. Go out and kill. I'm like, whoa. Zombie Santa starting a trend. I'm so pretty. I'm so pretty. This holiday will soon end. Do it all again. Bad Christmas has become a friend. And like, how great is that for the art he chose? And if, for those who can't see it, this laser beam on a deer is giving
like Donner.
Santa a ride.
It looks like Donner's
Santa's got this zombie werewolf kind of look to him, and it looks like the house, speaking of Christmas trees, it looks like the house that they were just at is on fire.
So he kept it.
Evil. But then there was the contrast of him reading it in that calm, cool, collected voice he had going there. Yeah, so it was just like, it was a very, very fun piece. And
I'll be damned. It's Christmas again.
Yeah. Right? Very cool. Thank you so much, Wayne. Sorry you couldn't call back, but great poem and awesome recording. And Heather, what do you think?
Yeah, I love the way he recorded it, the beginning line. Oh, damn. I'll be damned. It's Christmas again. He did it the same way each time that he built up through the, not built up too much, but do all I can. What was the other one? I'm so pretty. I'm so pretty. Send him, send it back home to men. I'm so pretty. Yeah, something's wrong with Donner.
You think? Was his eyes the giveaway or what? It's freaky, something. Right?
Yeah.
Only Wayne. But on that note, I will take a moment to say, wow, what a show. Very awesome poems. A little bit of naughty, a little bit of nice, a little bit of spiritual, a little bit of Death Valley kind of desert stuff happening in there. Really, really awesome.
A little bit of country, a little bit rock and roll.
Right, there you go. Right? I want to, before I close out and say thank you, I want to take a moment to tell everyone to be sure to take a peek on the board. For one thing, because there is a contest going for Wolf Spirit. Again, he has passed away. Rest in peace, Wolf. You'll be missed. There's your chance to do a tribute or just compliment one of his poems.
He's the only guy I've ever met that went to Woodstock.
Wow. Way cool.
I was wondering, with all the guys, the musicians and guys that I'd run across in my life. Well, I've been in California too. It'd be easier probably back east, but he's the first and only one I've ever met that went to Woodstock. Yeah.
Way cool. Way cool. So check out that contest. And as well as the contest that's going on right now, the first in a series by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. And
tell me about it.
There is a contest going on, and it's number one of the series. And in this particular one, there is a color sketch done by A.P. Taylor and then a stanza from one of his poems as inspiration. Already half full of entries, so it's a well-received contest. It is, again, sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Foundation. And aside from the fact that there will be the standard awards, which are points and the trophies. There are also special prizes provided by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. If you win the gold, aside from the stuff I just mentioned, you will also be awarded a $100. If you win the silver, if you win the silver trophy, you will be awarded a month of gold membership on All Poetry by A.P. Taylor's Foundation, and the bronze winner will get a month of silver membership. So be sure to check that out. The A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation also sponsors A Team of Voices Radio. So exciting stuff happening around here. Be sure to check it out before it runs out of spaces. And if it does, don't worry. There'll be another one next month. They will all close out about the 12th of each month. And the next winner could be you. And you can win the gold prize with the cash prize up to 2 times a year. So check that out. And if you look on the chat wall, I am adding both of those. And I would like to say thank you to A.P. Taylor for the foundation, for sponsoring us, and for being a board member and just a wonderful person who is still alive.
Yes.
I know it sounds weird to say that, but I have been questioned. I mean, a lot of people were upset. And I had some tears going on because I was like, well, no, no. Anyway, so that is that. And then I would also like to thank my big brother Hatter, another board member, and Sweet Pea, another board member. I think personally that the four of us make a really good team, and I love doing these shows with you all. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Steven. Feel better, Kay. Steven, thanks for making those two recordings. And thank you to Angel, Heavenly Angel, and Laughing Soul, and Wayne Gent, and C. Hope, and Phil the Poet, and Gerald Green. Amazing poetry, everyone. We appreciate you all for supporting our shows. And I am going to mosey on over here to the studio, because I did not mention this to AP, close us out with AP Taylor, our sponsor, singing a Christmas song. So, love and respect, everyone. See you all tomorrow at Sweet Pea's White Christmas Party. And where is that recording? I know it is here. It's not here. I know that he has one that says for White Christmas. I will have to find out what happened to that. And a bummer. It's in like a Michael Bublé kind of style here. And I'm wondering if
maybe he renamed it or something.
Nah, he would have told me.
That's right.
I was thinking, just in case, I would real quick look under White Christmas, but it's not there either. So I'm going to have to look in my files and find out what happened to it. And maybe we will play it for you on Saturday when we go Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound.
Homeward Bound.
I'm so wasted, I can't find my way home.
Okay, stay in school, kids. And on that note, you are a bugger today, let me tell you. Oh, boy. Some days I'm like, poor Joy.
You hear that, Joy?
Yeah.
Ever since some days she goes, oh, poor Joy.
I hear her laughing, too. She knows exactly what I mean. Okay. So on that note, let's see here. You know what? because of the tone of the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, I'm going to go out with this song right about here. Love and respect, everyone.
All right.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how do you like it? And it happens all the time, yeah.
What do you see when you turn out the light?
I can't tell you, but it sure feels like mad. Don't you know I'm gonna make it with my friends? I promise myself I'll get back.
Coffee. You can help from us. Maybe.
Thank you to the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Thank you, Hatter. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Deb. Bye.